hands to you this morning and I ask you, touch me in this service. Bless my heart. Change me for the better. I look up to you. I want you to do this personally. We lift our hands to the Lord and our worship this morning. Lord, you know what is appropriate for me to know and to be and to do. So, bless me with it this morning. Encourage me this morning. Strengthen me this morning. Thank you that after this service, I'll be better off in Jesus' name. I bring my heart to attention to be with you in this service, to receive from you in this service as I lift my hands to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving with everlasting love. And thank you because you will help me. This service will help me to grow more in love and to serve you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody beside you say good morning to them. Welcome to God's presence. Let me first of all apologize. There's too much light in the hall. It's not because you just want to have light. It's for our recording. So please, bear with the light. Is that all right? Bear with the light. It's all right. Praise God. Let's go to chapter 2, the book of Titus. As you get older, Pastor David's prayer will be more appropriate because the older you get, according to Titus, you should be sound in love. Let's go down there. Titus chapter 2. Let's go to verse 2. All right. That the older men be sober, be reverent, be temperate, sound in faith. That older men. Sound in love and sound in patience. Now, I want to do something this morning that it's quite, for us, appropriate. There's one word. Can you go to KJV, Charles? Can you go to KJV? I want you to see something all through in Titus, and we are going to, God's going to help us to deal with it. Okay, I want us to look at these verses. Be with me. Titus was being told by Paul to tell different age groups about how to live their life. But one word was repeated for almost all of them. Take a look. Titus chapter 2, verse 2, that the aged men be sober, be grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Next verse. Now, he said, can you look up? That the aged, the older woman, I don't like that word aged, makes you look as if you are on the way to the grave. That the older woman likewise, see, if he says likewise, they should also be sober. Am I right? That they be in behavior as becomes holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Next verse. That they teach, next verse. That they may teach the young woman to be sober. See, it's asking that the older men be sober. It's asking for older women to be sober. It's asking for young women to be sober. They have other things they should do, but sober was mentioned in all the three of them. Next verse. Okay, let's go on. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband. Next verse. And young men likewise, except to be sober. So, please, can you look up everybody? So, there's something that Titus was asking for all the age groups, that they be sober. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So, every age group, particularly, it started with the older one. So, if you are a young person, you should be sober. If you're a young woman, you should be sober. If you're an older man, you should be sober. If you're an older woman, you should be sober. So, sobriety, that's the noun for it. Sobriety or being sober-minded should characterize all age group. Now, what's this being sober-minded? or sober. Now, for some of us, sober means to be, what's the word in church? To be solemn. No, that's a different word. It's not solemn. It's not being solemn, you know. I mean, just, you know, this kind of thing you do in church when you have this kind of solemn kind of a thing. No. It's talking about sober. Sober, please, are we here? Sober is the opposite of being drunk. Are we here, everybody? In the normal language of our human relations, when somebody is drunk, we say he's drunk. Tomorrow morning, he will be sober. Am I right? How many of you have heard that before? Oh, it's in a sober mind. So when you are either, they call it under an influence, under the influence, is I think they call it UDI or something. Something. So if you are drinking, you are not sober. Because something else is controlling your feelings, attitude, that's not right. Now, as a Christian, please listen, everybody here. This is so important that God wants you to be sober. What does it mean to be sober? I'm going to give you three or four things that you need to cultivate in your life to be a sober person. Number one, if you are going to be sober, you must have what I call the voice of reason. You must be reasonable. Somebody who is sober yields to the voice of reason. It's not unreasonable. It's not under the influence of his feelings and emotion. It's not just driven by a kind of, what will I call it? Bias. If he's happy, he loses his sense in happiness. When he's sorrowful, you can't control him. It's just that way. So, number one, a person who is sober yields to the voice of reason. I think last week my wife was teaching here on wisdom. Was it? Was last week. Let's go to James chapter 3. Give us that same King James. Give us verse 17. King James. James 3 verse. Okay. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be what? See that word. Give us in NLT. That word to be entreated. That means it's reasonable. Can you give us quickly? I want to just lay this. Okay. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, it's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. You know, you will never really improve in your life. You will never display adulthood appropriately if you don't know how to let those who have stronger points win over you. You must not be obstinate and stubborn on your own way. So when you are sober, it means that when there is reason for you not to do what you should do, you yield to that reason. So number one, when you are sober, you yield to the voice of reason. God said, come, let us do what? Reason together. You must be a person who reasons, who take point by point and use that. If you do that, a lot of time in your life, you will not fail and you will not fall. When the devil came to Jesus, said, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. Jesus reasoned from the scriptures. He reasoned. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. So if I'm going to be sober-minded, you see, somebody who is drunk doesn't yield to the voice of reason. If somebody's drunk and is sitting down there, you say, hey, how are you doing? You know, it's not reasonable. So as we grow as Christians, we must learn to yield to the voice of reason. I don't just only mean in discussion. But in our own lives, we must learn to go for the higher thoughts and better thoughts. When I'm sad, I should be able to yield to the voice of reason that my sadness has an end and joy comes in the morning. Am I making some sense this morning? Even when I'm hurt, when I am offended, I must learn to yield to the voice of reason that this is not the end. That person yesterday was better to me than just what is happening today. I've seen people who are obstinate 20, 30 years of issues in their life. They refuse to yield to reason. And it is much more inappropriate for an adult person who is above 50 to still be unreasonable. You should have seen enough of life to be reasonable. You should be able to, God said, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. So I want to plead with you, be sober. That means hear to the voice of reason. Hallelujah. It spare you a lot of problems. Stop arguing just to win arguments. Stop trying to make your point. Yield to it. You know, sometimes I'm talking with my wife and then she has better reason. Instead of saying, no more, I yield to it. Praise God. And let me say this to you. Inside of yourself, as you deal with matter, thoughts will be coming to you. Issues will be rising up. You must learn to appropriately choose your thoughts and yield to the better reason. Sober. Number two. If you are going to be sober, you must also have the value of scriptures. You must value scriptures. A sober Christian values scriptures more than culture. When he faces anything, his main value is on the word of God. His valuableness is settled on the word of God. Praise God, somebody. So, when somebody is sober, he's valuing what he knows from the scriptures. He's valuing what he reads. He's not just doing his daily devotion and stop there. There's nothing as beautiful as an older Christian that you go to and then he begins to give you scriptures to appropriately deal with your situations. That's Ogba and Wagba. I know that. You have grown up in life, you can have some ideas. But there's nothing as beautiful. I deal with people, I move with them. I found that today in our world, we don't value scriptures. So a lot of people are not sober as Christians. They are not sober. For instance, you see, when somebody is drunk, he's coming to this hall, he doesn't know his church, though it's church, but he just walks in. It's not aware that, you know, he doesn't see the staircase, he will fall down, get up. We as Christians, our sobriety is in the scriptures. We come to value scriptures. We just don't do our lives any way we do it. We take the word of God that we read, not just only for church. We apply it to our lives. We apply it to our children. We apply it to our government. We apply it to our health, to our finances. We just don't do things outside the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Am I making some sense this morning? So number one, a person who is sober, he is to the voice of reason. Number two, he values scriptures. Praise God. Paul said, tell the older men to be sober. Tell the older women to be sober. Tell the young woman to be sober. Tell younger men to be sober. That means tell younger men to value scripture, to value the truth. For a child of God, the greatest truth is the scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number one, what's that? Voice of reason. When you are not able to discuss matter, and you just go fly off by wheel and refuse to admit, You're not sober. Hallelujah. The third one, when somebody is sober, how does he see life? Listen to this. I come to learn this. If you're going to be proper Christian, we must have a vision of life in Christ. What does it mean to live as Christian? I must cultivate that. I must not just yield to my flesh, to the environment around me. I must have a picture. I must develop the picture of being a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a child of God? I'm not, first of all, HOD, administrator, a lecturer, a doctor, an engineer. I'm, first of all, a Christian. I must envision the life in Christ. I must look at my life. The vision I have for life is life in Christ. It's not appropriate for me at this stage to be so concerned about money above everything else. It's not for me appropriate at this stage of my life to be so concerned about pleasure. Imagine you get older, you want to spend money on this particular thing that is for pleasure, and then you have your child that needs to pay for that money for the master's degree. The voice of reason will tell you that master's degree will last more than the pleasure you're going to enjoy now. Not making some sense? That should belong to us as we grow older. And like I said again, you must be able to see and your vision of Christian life will be seen in the kind of music you listen to. Are you hearing me? If you are still playing a music like this in your life, I know you like Ebenezer, that's the reason why. But the philosophy behind that does not sync with the life in Christ. I can't be singing that. I can't be singing that. I'm a child of God. I got life in Christ. I'm heading toward heaven. Praise God. I have some understanding. Jesus is Lord. The Father is on the throne, and I'm not left to myself. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? You see, if we do that, some things we do, we must understand the appropriate life in Christ Jesus. And that's when we begin to influence what I say, what I do, the words I speak. As we have a vision, a lot of people don't have a vision of Christian life. They just have coming to church, read the Bible, pray, and it stops there. But they don't have picture that, like now, a Christian must not be lazy. It's not appropriate for a Christian husband to leave his wife to handle everything in the home and walk away and spend his money somewhere else. That's not the vision. The vision of a Christian husband is the person like Jesus who laid down his life for the church. The vision of a Christian life is not the kind of life that where you become the boss and you oppress everybody. And more so, the vision of a Christian life is not an abusive mouth where I just say any word, say any dirty word. No, what have you seen about Christian life? Hallelujah. I cannot sustain bitterness as a Christian. Why? Because my Father God on the throne is love. And that love sent his son to the cross. I'm making some sense this morning. So we should be sober. Sober in the voice of reason. Second, sober in valuing scriptures in our lives. You see Christians that go to church, do all kinds of things in church, get titles in church. They get to work. They hardly work well. They hardly do their job well. They go back to the animal life, human hopeless thinking. Huh? We should be sober. Praise God, somebody. We should be sound-minded. We should carry that through our lives. Honestly, sometimes I just feel like shutting church down for the next 1 year. Let's just go and leave it. Let's just go and leave it and come back with results. Huh? It's as if, you know, God was battling with the Old Testament people. He said, you come to church, you will worship me, You offer sacrifice, but I don't see the change in your life. Let me give you one. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Give us, let's just read from verse 20 or 21. Message Bible. Come and see something. Give us Isaiah 1. Message Bible. Maybe we'll find it. Let's go quickly. Isaiah 1, verse. Go on, next verse. 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 I hope it's not earlier. Next verse. I'm going to. Next verse. Next verse. Okay, next verse. Okay, give us verse 10. Maybe that will give it to us. Is that, I'm looking at a particular verse there. Good, okay, verse 10. Give us verse 10. Okay, next verse. Can you look up, everybody? This is God asking. Why this frenzy of sacrifices? God's asking. Don't you think I've had my fill of burnt sacrifices? Rams and plump grain-fed calves. Don't you think they bring sacrifices to the temple of sacrifice? Don't think I've had my fill of blood from bulls, lambs, and goats. Next verse. When you come before me, whoever gave you the idea of acting like this, running here and there, doing this and that, all this sheer commotion in the place provided for worship. You know, you see all kinds of programming, all kinds of things going on every day in church. Quit your worship charades. I can't stand your trivial religious games. Monthly conferences, weekly Sabbath, special meetings. I can't stand it anymore. Sorry, oh. Forgive me, oh. Meetings for this, meetings for that. I hate them. You want me out. I'm sick of your religion. Religion. Why you going right on sinning? Stop it there. Thank you. Okay. Let's before we get started. This is early in the morning. You know, I mean, he's talking about pulling this thing out and use it. And let it become really influencing our mind. Praise God. I hope I've not spoiled the service this morning. I said, number one, a sober person, first of all, hears to the voice of reason. Second, evaluate scriptures. Third, he has a vision of Christian life. But before I close, I must not close on the negative side. There's something about a person who is sober. He has vitality of life. That's this thing always, you know, when he's sober, he's thinking of next level, next thing, next, this vitality of life. It's not a solemn person who's just dull. Whatever your age is as a person, you must display vitality, vivacity, you know, you must be alive. Let me give you a picture of that as I round up for your prayer of agreement. How many of you remember Obasanjo followed by Yar'Adua? Remember? Obasanjo was far older than Yar'Adua, if you remember. He handpicked Yar'Adua to do some work. But you notice something about Obasanjo? He's always alive. Even when he sits, the chair is moving. When he stands, he's turning. There's something about Yar'Adua that when he got to the office, when you see him, you just pity him. My wife read the book by his secretary, Segun something. He said when he got to Benin Republic, he was so sick that man had to carry him on his back. See, no vitality. No. Can I beg you, pray yourself into vitality. Praise God, somebody. Pray yourself to be alive. Pray yourself. You see, one of the things that when you start feeling down, pray yourself out of it. In fact, let's pray now. Come on. Let's just pray in the spirit. Come on, let's say, Father, I want to be strong. I want to be alive. I want to be better. I want to live a life that is marked with increase in strength. I want to live a life that is not just dull, not just going on, not just doing the same thing. Help me. Can we lift our hands and pray? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to grow from strength to strength, from grace to grace, from glory to glory. I want to display around me as an emblem of your power that I'm alive, that I'm alive. I want to have more life. I want to have more life. I want to display more life. I receive more life today as a husband, as a wife. I want to be alive to my responsibility. I want to be alive as a worker, as a business person, as a student. I want to be alive to my responsibility. I want to be alive to my title in the name of Jesus. Lord, pour your strength. Pour your strength. Paul said, I pray that out of the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with might in your inward man, that I will not give up, that I will not lay down, that I will not be oppressed and depressed all the time. I come against oppression. I come against depression in the name of Jesus. Oh yeah, I have life. I have life. Now begin to confess to yourself, I have life. I'm alive. I have life from the Father. I have life to live. I'm not diminishing. I'm increasing in the measure of life in the name of Jesus. I believe that I can get better and I will do better. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Can you open your eyes? I just saw this when we were praying. You know, don't ever believe that the older you are now, your finances have stopped. And that's all you have. Are you hearing me? I'd like you to stand up on your feet. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want us to pray that, Lord, enlarge my capacity financially. You see, listen to this. I'm not just praying because I just feel like praying this prayer. But you see, money is a form of strength. Form of strength to get things done here. And don't just put yourself under all that you have now. You know, when we are younger, 30s and 40s, we're looking forward. We want to get more. But now, if you are not careful, we become conservative and we think all that we have now is just to redistribute, and will not expand and enlarge more. Say, Father, help me to enlarge. Help me to increase more. Help me to see new horizons in my financial life. Help me to see new opportunities. Help me to see new opportunities. Help me to break out. Come on. Help me to break out. Help me to see. Lord, I'm not through yet. I'm not finished yet. Yeah. The best days are ahead of me. The best days are ahead of me. Oh, inventions, investment, all kinds of things that can happen. Lord, I'm not yet through. My age has not arrived at a place where I can park. We read in the Bible, God said, the prophet was telling us, you have dwelt long enough on this mountain. Break out. Say, Lord, don't ever believe that all you have is all you have now. That's more. Can we reach out and say, Father, Lord, increase my capacity. Enlarge my capacity. That work you have in your hand. Say, Lord, can you make it more fruitful? Can you make it more productive? Can you make it more in any form I need to have it? Can you make it more to have more, to do more, to bless people more, to make my own needs to be met more in the name of Jesus? I don't care where you are right now, whether you are a teacher or an engineer or whatever you're doing, whether you are high paying or low paying, say, Lord, I can get to improve my finances. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory be. Can you take your neighbor's hand and say, Father, we take more together. We take more together. We take more together. We take more together. More to be blessed and to be a blessing. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Blessed be your holy name. Let's claim it together. We take more together. We reach out for more together. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Tell somebody beside you, more is coming my way. More is coming. Let him be your witness. More is coming my way. Opportunities are coming my way. I'm seeing new ways of doing things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Sit down, Paul. Please come. Let's do some prayer of agreement. there. I've been under some conviction lately. I've not been doing what God asked me to do, but people receiving their healing. Usually we just pray in the service for the sick and cool, but I know it requires more than that. So in the recent time, it's really been on me, but I just didn't know what to do with it until God gave me a go-ahead to get somebody involved with me. I noticed that when it comes to Christians getting healed, it's not just only one go kind of a thing. It's something you have to work. Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So from this coming Friday, I want to start having between 5 and 6, what I call hour of healing. We just come. Whatever is wrong with you, we just... That's the thing. I can take the word of God, pray, we take the word of God. Like a sister in church here, that they told us he had an issue. And when she told me, I gave her a book, I said, steadily, let's go through that. And then pray about it. And she did that over a period of time. And last time she was telling me that doctor said, not herself, she's free now. She can stop the drugs. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, but she has that kind of tenacity. A lot of people don't have, so you have to help them and get together. So between 5 and 6 Friday, I have somebody else who will join me to help me. Just pray in the spirit, pray, and take the word of God. Just work it out. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Can we lift our hands one more time? Can we put this week in the hand of God? This week in the hands of God. Thank you for Monday. Thank you for Tuesday. Thank you for Wednesday. Thank you for Thursday. Thank you for Friday. Thank you for Saturday. Thank you for this week ahead. This new week I'm entering into. Thank you for the help I receive. Can you just thank God for the help you will receive this week? The Bible said, and Uzziah became greater because he was helped marvelously. Say, Lord, I welcome your marvelous help this week. I welcome your marvelous assistance this week. Thank you for marvelous help. Now say, Satan, I resist every of your hindrances this week. I stand against every hindrance that want to waylay, stop, hold me back in any form. I stand against every hindrance. I welcome every help from my Father. I resist every hindrance. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, are they not all, talking about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? Say, I receive angels walking with me this week. I receive angels walking with me this week. He said, and he will tell them to guard you in all your ways. You will not, you know, bang your feet on any stone, any stumbling. Say, Lord, I receive angels carrying me in their hands. I receive angels smoothing my ways this week. Thank you for different ministering spirits, angelic assistance, helping me this week, all through the week, in the name of Jesus. Tell yourself, I claim measure of blessing for this week. I claim blessings for this week. I claim the blessing that I've been stored up for me this week. I claim help. I claim blessing. I claim victory. I claim peace that has been assigned for me this week. I receive it in the name of Jesus. I receive assignment to touch life, to bless people, to do my part in the name of Jesus. Whatever my vocation, I receive strength to perform well this week. Whatever my profession, whatever my job, I receive strength, I receive ability, I receive creativity to perform well, to see what to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a glorious week. Thank you for a wonderful week. I bless your name for it. Amen. In the name of Jesus. This is the week that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. You are singing for yourself now. This is the week that the Lord has made. I will. Hallelujah. This is the week that the Lord has made. Before we leave this auditorium, that's a few minutes left. Let's look at something that we need to do for the Lord. We need to do regularly. And that must be one of the reasons why we are alive. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. He was talking about being born again and desiring. We read that about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And he said, if you are going to grow, we should lay aside some things and begin to desire the pure milk of the word of God. Look at verse 1. Therefore, 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Next verse. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk or the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. If indeed you have, how many of you over here, you have seen God's goodness this year? God has been good one way or the other. Praise the Lord. Can we clap those hands for the Lord Jesus? Amen. Praise God. We have tasted of the goodness of the Lord is gracious. Now, let's look at verse 4 very slowly. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. He's talking about as Christians, we come to Christ. We live our life around him. But look at verse 5. He said, he called him a stone. You also as living stone. Can you just take the background, please? You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. Please, we are not yet finishing the blessed week. Service is not finished yet. Thank you. Sometimes the computer takes life of its own. All right, where are we? 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You also as living stones have been built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Now read the next set of words with me. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I want you to see something. As we lay aside all the negative things, as we desire the sincere milk of the word of God, we are coming to Christ, but for a purpose. The purpose is that we become built up as what? A spiritual house. And we become a holy priesthood. Let's look at chapter 5, Revelation, verse 9 and verse 10. We'll come back to this verse in minutes. I want to emphasize something there. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scrolls and to open the seal, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Next verse. And have made us what? Kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign where? On the earth. Now, there are two things God has made us. He's made us what? Kings and priests. Now, a lot of us know about kings, to dominate, to rule over, to prevail over circumstances. But that's not the totality of our job. Our second part of the job is to be also priests. Secondly, that'd be very nice. Priest in the Anglican Church. Priests, we are priests. Say that with me. I'm a priest. Interesting. Where's your collar? I'm a priest. And as a priest, we are not called to dominate. As a king, we are called to dominate. But as a priest, we are called to offer to God sacrifices. Hallelujah. Priests offer sacrifices. Let's look at some sacrifices we should offer. Let's go back to 1 Peter 2, verse 5. It says, coming to him as to a living stone. Okay, quickly. You also as living stones have been built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. What? Acceptable to God. Somebody said, Pastor, what can I do with my life? Pastor, what can I do with my life? Do you know that? Please listen to this. If I'm not called to be, sometimes I wish I'm not a pastor. I just wish I'm an ordinary Christian. As ordinary Christian, normal Christians, what does God want you to do? Besides dominating over your circumstances, what does God want? He wants to offer up spiritual sacrifices to him. And they are beaucoup enough to get you engaged. Honestly. Let's look at these sacrifices. When I wake up in the morning, I don't have doubt about certain things I need to do for God or with God. Let's look at them. Every Christian can do this. You don't have to guess. You don't have to think. You can always do this. You should offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God every day. Let's look at the first sacrifice. Romans 12 verse 1. Many of us know Romans 12 verse 2. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. But that's not what's the first on that verse. Everybody look at that verse 1. This is the first sacrifice we should offer every day. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's begging us that you present your bodies. What? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Can you imagine? The priests under the Old Testament, they would take animals every day. They offer two animals every day. They offer sin offering and burnt offering. That must be kept every day in the temple. How many animals? Two. What are they? Sin offering. Sin offering to take care of their sin. Second, burnt offering is a different animal sacrifice. They will burn everything. Nothing will be left out. It's actually called holocaust. Holocaust is that word for burnt sacrifice. That's what Adolf Hitler wanted to use the Jew for. You know, that's the reason we call it holocaust. He said it's going to burn up, it destroys 6 million Jews. He said it's going to offer them to God as offering. Holocaust. And God's not asking us to burn sacrifice physically every day. He said, bring your body a living sacrifice. Your body that you go to work with, your body that you think with, that you speak with, that God said, see, everything you do is in your body. Wow. Can you look at your body? Can you take a look at your body? God said, that body, present it to me as a living sacrifice. Oh, there are some good musicians those days. They're still around too. People like Panam Pastor Paul sing, my body is a sanctuary. My body is a sanctuary. So am I able to say my body. Then he said, I give it to you, my body. I give it to you. Remember the song? Oh, you're not a singer. Hallelujah. Can we just do that this morning? Lord, here is my body. I present it to you. My mouth, my brain, my hands, my feet, my legs. I put it on your altar. That your fire will come on it and give it greater life. I bring my body to you. I bring my stomach to you. I bring my belly to you. I bring everything from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Every cell, every organ, every tissue, my digestive system, my nervous system, my respiratory system, I bring it to you as a sacrifice. I bring my body to you. I offer it to you. Thank you for receiving it. Thank you for helping my body. Thank you for putting your holiness and your fire in this body. Thank you for making it your temple. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what? I believe that this I've not been doing well myself. Every time you wake up in the morning, the very first thing you should do is say, God, here is my body. Before we use it for everything else. And the body that we give over to God, devil can't tamper much with it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Nobody will go to a particular shrine and take the sacrifice there for something else. They fight you to no point, man. You know, so when we offer our body to God and leave it to his throne and say, Father, here's my hand, here's my leg, that ulcerated stomach, and say, Father, is having ulcer, I offer my stomach to you. Praise God. Particularly when you are fasting, you should do that too. When you say, Pastor, I just can't fast. Just take your body and say, Father, prepare my body to you as a living sacrifice. Praise God, somebody. That's the first one. Second sacrifice we should offer. Take your Bible with me. Let's go to Hebrews 13, verse 15. Second sacrifice. We should offer sacrifice. These are practical, simple things we can do. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer what? The sacrifice of praise to God. What's that? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Our second sacrifice. Are we here? Our second sacrifice. And this one is continually. What's that? Sacrifice of what? Praise. And what kind of praise? Not just thanking, but the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. One time, I had to do something. I set an alarm. I heard David said, 7 times a day, I will praise your name. So I took my alarm and put it two hours just to ring. And when it rings, I stop and say, Father, thank you. I give you glory and praise. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. It's so powerful to do that. Just stop and just, I mean, wherever you find yourself, even at work, under your breath, you say, Father, thank you. I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. I give you all the praise. It brings heaven's atmosphere to your life. You are going for a presentation. Before you present, Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, name continually, our lives become continuous habitation for God. It's not that easy to commit sin when you praise God. Hallelujah. It's not that easy. So learning to just stop, and you don't have to do it for an hour or two. One of the things I do in my house, in my own life, is to leave music on. Just leave praise on. David did that. David put music in the temple 24/7. They were even on roster. And you know what? David never lost any war. Praise God, somebody. Instead of putting that TV in your office, put some music, praise on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Rattling out CNN, giving all the bad news all the time. Put some kind of music on that, some instrumental, some worship, some praise. Let just be around your atmosphere. One of the best places to listen to God. Demons will get away from that kind of atmosphere. Remember Saul? When the demon was tormenting him, his people said, let's go and get somebody who can play. And as he played, he just calmed down. Praise God. Let your house be filled with praise. Some of us, our mouth, we can sing very, some of us can't sing very well, but we can apply, we can employ Ron Kenoly. We can employ all these people in our house from their CDs and their tapes. Amen. If you are using tapes or CD. So learn to praise God. You don't have to have a drum set. Thank God for drum set. You don't have to have guitar. Thank God for guitar. Praise pause. Let's take a praise pause. Lord, you are good. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are great. Oh, yeah. Circulate your being with the glory of God. Just bless him right now. Lift your hands and say, Father, I magnify your name. I exalt you. Woo! You are God, and your mercy endures forever. You'll be there for me. You have always been there for me. You are the God who was and is and is to come. I render praises to you. I bring honor to your name. There's no one like you, God. Oh, glory to Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the King who lives forever. Thank you that I belong to you. I'm your child. You are my father. I know that tomorrow is great because you are there with me. You are the God who is to come so I can face tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, for all I have. For this blessing you have given me this far. What you have given me, I know you are able to keep it. You are the keeper. You are the keeper. You are the keeper. I bless your name. Thank you. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my finances. Thank you for my friends and my neighbors. Thank you for our church members. Thank you for Rock Foundation. Thank you for Abeokuta. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for blessing on our water and our food. Thank you for keeping us healthy. Thank you. Thank you for driving out from our bodies sickness and diseases. Thank you for making us the head and not the tail. Thank you. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus forever. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Somebody clap your hands for the Lord. Amen. You know, as we do that, it's a big river. But let's take the streams home. Let's take the stream home. In your car, just stop and just bless him. One thing I'm cultivating now is to pray in the spirit almost all the time. I'm trying to do that now. Just pray, just pray, just pray. You know, just pray. You alone in the house, just pray, just pray. You alone in the office, just pray. Your office is very big. Nobody's there to torment you. Just pray. Just pray in tongues and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Number one, offer your body to God. Number two, offer praises. Number three, the next verse tells us another sacrifice. Verse 16. What do you say? But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know what? Listen, if this brother's biro falls down and I pick it up for him, that's a sacrifice to God. Sounds weird. He said to do good and to share. Oh, this makes all the difference in the world. So when you get your wife a cup of water, that sacrifice, you're doing that good. can you see how it's messed up together as spiritual? Isn't this so fantastic? Somebody just helps you, you give them something, you know? A sacrifice to God, to do good and to share. He said, God is well pleased with that kind of sacrifice. Can you just imagine that? I want to spend the rest of my life just doing good and sharing. Just doing good and sharing. Hallelujah. See, sacrifice. Can you just imagine that? So your time of doing good is not wasted at all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take your phone and say, hello, I'm just checking up on you. That's doing good. Am I right? It's sacrifice to God. Wow. What a Christian way of living. Under the Old Testament, you have to take an animal, take a goat, or take a ram and drag it to church. Or to assembly temple, and then they offer it and shed the blood. But right now, we can sacrifice to God anything good that we do to our children, to our nephews, to our auntie, to our uncle. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, somebody sent me like an SOS yesterday. And somebody said, look here, I'm not asking for myself help. I got this, my friends, they are in this bad state. And can you help? I just got some money. I said, come on, let's do it. Let's do good. And after I do that, I remember he said, things have been difficult for him lately himself. He didn't mention himself. But I had it. So what did I do? I did something for him too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just small thing you can do. You don't have to have 50,000 to do something. Huh? Praise the Lord. You don't have to. It's just 1,000. You can just buy credit for somebody. Just bless somebody. Just do something. Hallelujah. That's your classmate. Send to another credit. You know, just do something good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know about you. I want to be a grandpa that I carry stuff. Kids just come. Everywhere I go, children just like being around me. Praise God. Do something for them. You know, one time I was with one kid. It was only 20 naira. So I took out 1,000. I said, let's exchange. He said, no. He said, no. Like, dude, no. And you know, I do those things even when I'm broke because it's a sacrifice. Oh, that's it. It's a sacrifice. So they think, oh, Reverend has a lot of money. No, I'm just sacrificing. Just sacrificing. That's it. Hallelujah. Even tell that to my children. I said, Daddy, you need some kind of money. They need 50,000 and I have 60,000. I pull out the fear. I know I'm their father, but I said I'm sacrificing too. Just do that. Left with 10. No, I don't care. Praise God. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Glory to God. So let's do what we can for human. Which day now I was talking? Was it Tuesday I was talking? That's one more sacrifice there that I don't so much, I didn't want to really receive it as such. One of the things I was saying on Tuesday was the pastor's offering. You know, when I feel sometimes, I'm not the kind of person who likes to ask, Yoruba brought me up, are you hearing me? I mean, Omoluabi kind of a thing, you know. So you never like to burden people with your life. So I try and avoid not asking people for things. And a lot of times I forget pastor's offering. But recent time, God has been telling me, don't do that. Because it's people's sacrifice, you know. In fact, somebody was accosting me. Was it somebody who came? He said, Reverend, this is not right. You don't get this thing clear. I said, I'm sorry, you know. He said, I mean, you don't say it clearly. The reason why is because all pastors are looking for money. You just want your money. So you don't want to be among those kind of class of people. But as a sacrifice, you give when you give to men of God. Let's look at it. Philippians 4. Hallelujah. Choir, ready to sing? Let's go to Philippians 4, verse 11. Or is it verse? No, 11 is too far. Let's go to verse 14. Maybe. Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Next verse. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Let's keep on reading. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the food that abounds to your account. God started convincing me that when people give to you, they are actually not just giving to you, they are putting things in their own account. You know? Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full. Having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, now follow now, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And then he said, and my God shall supply all your need. It's in that context. And one of the things that God has been used to convince me recently is that in my own life, I count it a serious privilege to bless men of God. In fact, I was saying it in one service about 4-5 weeks ago when dollar was rising high and high and high and high, about 2,000. I was praying. I just heard myself say, I'm going to get $500 and pick 5 pastors in town that are struggling, that are lacking, and find money for them. So I began to pray. So I want to sacrifice dollars to men of God. And I put them on my list. I picked 5 of them, did my stuff, and said, Lord, thank you for the dollars. Thank you for the dollars. So somebody gave me $100. I took it. That first person is a minister. He's been in town struggling for years. It's been difficult for him, but he's trying to just go on with God. And I just asked him to come over. And I gave him an envelope. He was coming with a bag to collect food stuff. So they gave an envelope. He felt bad until he got to the gate. When he opened and he saw $100, he just sat down there and started crying. Then people started giving me money. Somebody gave me pound sterling. Somebody gave me another one. I mean, these are people that are not known. They are pastors who are struggling that nobody will. The last one happened last Sunday. And I took $100 again. I gave, got everything done. And I asked them, run to that church. The person is a branch pastor. His church won't think of giving except the GO. So I said, go give him that money. $100. And when service was over, third service, I saw him walking here. I said, Pastor, what are you doing here? He said, I must just come. He said to me, thank you for remembering me. I love that. It's my whole life. That's my life. Love that. Sacrifice to God, well pleasing. So God said, you do it to others, let them do it to you too. But I don't, I'm not used to. Let me just do what I'm doing. So also, it's a sacrifice. When you find men of God, and bless them, a servant of God. Praise God. And then we know that God call it sweet. Give us verse 18 again. Sweet smelling sacrifice. Aroma, acceptable sacrifice. Well pleasing to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we've seen our sacrifices now. Choir, can we sing? What are our sacrifices? At least four of them. What's the first one? Our body. Second, hey, you that are over 50, start giving your body to God now. You need some more stamina and vitality. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What's the first one? Our body. Second one? Sacrifice of praise. Third one, doing good to others, sharing. And fourth one, giving to servant of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray about our offering this morning. Our dear Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor. Blessed be your name. Right now, Father, we bring our sacrifice to you. Our giving is sacrifice. We bless your name. Thank you as a seed. You are the God of harvest. We ask that your blessing will rest upon us so we can run and do more for your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give.